Good morning. Welcome to the conference of results of the fourth quarter for the year for Grupo Nutresa. At the table, we have Carlos Ignacio Gallego, President of Grupo Nutresa, José Domingo Penagos, Vice President of Corporate Finance, and Santiago Escobar, Director of Corporate Finance. After the presentation by the President and Vice President of Corporate Finance for the results for the fourth quarter of the year, we will start the Q&A session. Any questions received through the webcast will be read verbatim. Those who have connected to the conference in English, we appreciate it if you send your questions in through the webcast. If you want to follow the slides in Spanish, because by default, the webcast is in English, must download from the screen. Those who ask questions, please give us your name and the institution you represent. I give the floor to Carlos Ignacio Gallego, the President of Grupo Nutresa, for the presentation of results.
Good morning. Welcome to our conference. Thank you for being with us. To start with, I ask you to go to slide number two, where we share with you some relevant events. First, we'd like to tell you about ventures, Nutresa Ventures. As we said in previous conferences, our strategy is twofold. One is creating opportunities for growth through brands and companies that are medium and large companies with our strategic vision, and another one in which we invest in ventures to which we provide our capabilities to develop the channels and to improve their growth through our platforms. We report the launch of Nutresa Ventures, a corporate program on Grupo Nutresa. We have with that another company specialized in this type of ventures. We will be looking for companies in the early stages that are highly innovative with the potential to generate significant capabilities in fundamentals of the food industry. Our focus is going to be nutrition and wellness of people, the developing new ways to develop and relate to our customers, and the option of technology to improve our productivity in the business and sustainability. With this initiative, Grupo Nutresa is trying to open a new strategic window for new knowledge, new business models and products that allows us to know the new ways to transform the industry and to complement our business and talent systems. In the early stages, we're going to be investing up to $80 million. Going to slide number three, and according to our sustainability strategy, we're pleased to share with you two important awards received during the last period of the previous year, which recognize our efforts in these areas. During the period, TMLC received one of the most significant business awards in Chile, the Business Evolution Index Award of 2018, which is given to the business for the best score in this index that qualifies or rates the practices that contribute to the creation of a climate of mutual trust and in harmony with all actors in society. And lastly, in this same slide, Monitor Empresarial de Reputación Cooperativa Merco, in its 9th edition, rated Grupo Nutresa as the leading company in talent scouting and retention in Colombia. The evaluation included more than 47,000 companies that measured work quality, the employer brand, and internal reputation. It's extremely important. We've always believed that talent development is one of the key pillars of our group. After telling you about these three events, let's look at the sales for the last quarter of 2018 and the accumulated totals, and let's go to slide number four, please.
In Colombia, we had very good business dynamics during the last period. We had sales for 1,523,000,000 pesos with a growth of 5.1%. That 5.1%, as you can see, comes from a growth of 1.4% growth in volume and an average price increase of 3.5%. However, if you were to eliminate the effect of the subproducts of the pasta and the biscuit businesses, we'd have 1.8% increase in prices and 3.8% in volume, which is very good. All the businesses had a growth in pesos, and now let's tell you a little bit more about that when we speak about the accumulated figures. And all our sales had volume increases. This growth in volume was 3.5%, and if we eliminate the effect of subproducts, biscuits grew 1.1% by volume. So we had a very good quarter in Colombia. With respect to international sales, we always have them in dollars. We have some impact through the cross exchange rates. We had sales for $279.5 million with a decrease of 2.4%, which is 883,300 million pesos with a growth of 3.3% in Colombian pesos. Look at this by business. We have in TM Look in their functional currency, Chilean pesos is 3.4%. Due to the devaluation of the Chilean peso vis-a-vis the dollar, which lost a decrease of 4.5% in dollars. This means that in local currency, we had a very good behavior for TM Look, but the dollar conversion shows a decrease. Biscuit had good operations in Central America, and in local currencies, a little affected by the devaluation in Central America vis-a-vis the dollar. Chocolate had very good results by volume, both in international platforms and in exports from Colombia. In coffee, we have a decrease of a decrease in dollars because of fewer exports due to higher cost of local raw materials and lower international prices. This has been, we started to reverse that situation in the first quarter of 2019. The retail food operations grew, however, we have devaluations in the currencies of the platforms, 5% in Costa Rica and 4.4% in Dominican Republic, and that reporting in dollars is lower. In cold cuts, we have a decrease of 20.1% in dollars due to fewer exports of meat from Colombia. When we combine the good dynamics in Colombia during the last quarter, during this with international sales, we see in slide number 5 total sales for the quarter for 2,406,800,000,000 pesos with a growth of 4.5%. As you can see, all the businesses grew, and significantly the pasta, which grew 8.1%, chocolates, which grew 7%, and ice cream, which grew 6.6%. That ice cream growth is part of a program of transformation of the business that we had announced earlier, and you will be able to see that reflected in profits. Let's go to slide number 6. Let's look at the accumulated for the end of the year. So in Colombia, we had sales of 5,773,400,000,000 pesos with a growth of 4.4% above the country's inflation. That 4.4 comes from a 2.1% growth in volume and in price increase of 2 If we do the same exercise that we did for the quarter and we eliminate the effect of the subproducts, we have 0.9% increases and 3.9% in volume. We have made a big effort to have very careful management of the prices and pretty focused on prices, trying to affect as little as possible the volumes. We had a balanced growth, very positive, both in volumes and in prices. All the businesses grew during the year in pesos and in volume also, except the biscuits. But biscuits, when we eliminate the subproducts, minus 1.1% that we had before, in the bottom of the graph, becomes a growth of 2.5%. So it was a very good year in Colombia with a growth of 4.4. And outside of Colombia, sales, we had $1.1 million with a growth of 2.3%, which become 3,278,700 million pesos with a growth of 2.5%. In international sales, I'd like to highlight the growth of chocolate, very significant, 9.2%. The growth in biscuits, which was 3.6%. And in opportunities that I mentioned earlier, we had a very difficult year for coffee because of that decrease of 10.9%. I'd like to point out that we had some recoveries during the last quarter, and that is something we have to work on this year. It was a very good year internationally. When combining the sales in Colombia and outside, we have in slide number 7 total sales of 9,016,000 million pesos with a growth of 3.7%, in which all the businesses grew except coffee, which we mentioned that in this case that the decrease is due to a slower international dynamics, because although inside Colombia had a good year, we had a growth of chocolates in 6.1%, 5.8% in consumer foods or retail foods. It's also very important, and in ice cream, 4.9%. Innovation sales in the year represented 21.5% of total sales, above the target that we had set out, which was 15%. And there was a very significant driver for our growth. It was a somewhat uncertain year at the end of the year because of the discussions about possible changes to the financing laws, but we are recovering the consumer confidence, and in the combination and brand development, market investment, development of channels, and significant innovation allows to reach this figure, which is very significant. When in slide number 8, we see the distribution of sales by region, we find 63.6% was inside of Colombia, and 36.4% were outside of Colombia. The second geography after Colombia was Central America, where we had 9.6% of our total sales. It's a very important region where we have a lot of categories in the market. We're doing very well. The third geography was Chile, a very important region for the group, where we have been working, and we still have a lot of potential to be developed. And the third one after Colombia was the U.S., where we had 7.3%, and it was affected somewhat by lower dynamics in the coffee, as mentioned earlier. With respect to market share, in slide number 9, we find, according to the Nielsen values, a share in the market in Colombia on average was 59.2%. In the previous conference, we told you about 59.3%. It's very similar. It's slightly lower, but very similar. The previous year, we have reported 59.8% with mixed behaviors, as we see in some categories. The growths are not significant. In others, there are growth. And as you can see in here in pastas in Chile, we have a significant increase, and in Mexico. And our position has been strengthening with the brands. We have very significant shares for the Grupo Nutresa, but also between the profit and the brand strength is very important. Makes, you know, we see some decreases, but we're always striving to maintain those shares. Where we are leaders, we want to continue to be leaders. Where we are not, we want to increase our share. We are always interested in getting market growth, but there are no changes that require a more in-depth look. Going to the profits, which I'd like to go to slide number 10, where we show the commodities index for the group. On the average, is lower than we had throughout the year. This is a lower price on the commodities such as sugar, oils, pork, and coffee, and international reference prices. That index that we have here is given in dollars. That is why we should remember that the local prices do not follow the trend for these commodities such as coffee, in which the price in dollars is lower. But in Colombia, the price didn't go down as much as it did outside of Colombia. We mentioned that in the previous talk. And the rate of exchange also affects the final product, the final price of the imported product, because those prices are indexed to the dollar. In the graph on the right-hand side of the slide, we maintain our packing materials as a significant item in the cost, and then others, coffee, pork, and wheat. For each of these inputs, we have coverage strategies, which we use as risk management tools, and we combine that with physical inventory management when the situation makes that valuable for the company. So, to continue with the profit analysis, I'll give the floor to Jose Domingo Penagos, who will continue with you. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. For all of you, good morning. Let's look at the start with the profits, financial statements, and the position of debt. Let's go to slide 11, where we start with the EBITDA for the quarter. Although during the last quarter, it's significant seasonality. This is a higher concentration of expenses. It was that item that had very good behavior during the period, and added this to the coverage, the good performance of costs. We have the productivity increases in the group, and these expenses specifically responded to this commitment to productivity. We had an EBITDA of 285 million pesos with a good double-digit growth, 17.1%, with a margin of 11.9%, which is higher by 130 base points to the same margin during the previous years. Very good business performance. We saw that we had control of expenses. We were able to have a quarter that it's a little outside of the statistics of the previous years, but it's still on the average. This is general. Let's talk about each business. I'll be giving you more details with the results of the previous year were. In principle, the cold cuts had very good margins, 14%, an extraordinary growth of 40%. I would say that we have the effect of the cost, better performance in raw materials, but also a very strict expense control during very good season. So this gives us an extraordinary margin. This is a specific, very good figure, but it shouldn't be taken as an average for the group. This is higher than the for the year of 2018. We have others like biscuits and chocolates with good performance, both in margins and in growth. Biscuits grew 90 basic points. Good business dynamics, very well balanced between overseas and local operations. Chocolates, also very good performance with some of the most profitable categories. Wheat, we had good coverage, and cocoa as well, but there are other issues that affect this control on the business dynamics, which give us very good results for the period. TM Look, we had a bit the margin for the quarter, which is associated with the seasonality of the business, but the results are higher by 40 basic points than the results for the same period the previous year. In coffee, we have some effects of the cost of raw materials, and in exports. Exports, the results of the exports have been explained previously. Obviously, the dollars in exports are reflected in the EBITDA. We ended on an EBITDA of 7% during the quarter with a decrease of 6.4%. Retail food, we have a recovery that I'd like to highlight, 140 basis points compared to the same period in 2017. We had good revenue, good expense control, and this applied to this business unit. We have some improvement in the performance of the expenses, both locally and overseas, then gives us a better dynamic, seen here with a 13% with a double-digit growth. In the same dynamics, we have the ice cream business, a significant growth both in revenue and in profits. That's 140 basis points, then higher than the previous year. It's 12.4% margin, a growth of over 30%, good performance. This covered all our expenses, had very good results for the period, and we have pastas with a very significant growth, 40% in the EBITDA margin compared to the 2017 period. We have a raw material management mentioned earlier. This applies to this pasta business and expense controls, and we have results, very good growth for the quarter that also applies to many of the other items for the year. Expense control, good management of coverage and costs, and good commercial performance. To evaluate the full profit for the year, go to slide 12. We have the EBITDA for the entire year, 1,126,000,000 pesos, Colombian pesos, with a growth of 7.9% and a good margin, 12%. And remember, last year was 12%. I would like to point out, again, this business margin, and like chocolate and TM Look, all of them are higher than the average for the group. And again, we had improvement in business like ice cream, significant improvements in the EBITDA margin. We already mentioned where the sources of those improvements are. That was part of the general message about the EBITDA. By saying that, in any event, this better returns, and obviously better cash flows, as we shall see when we look at the financial statements. Talking about the financial statements, we have the P&L for the quarter in slide number 13. We apply the issue of productivity in revenue comes 4.5%. We have an increase of about 60 base points to the different initiatives we've had for initiative throughout the presentation. Some effect of the rate of exchange for our the items that have to do with the difference of exchange, both in operations and post-operations, some revenues which are not relevant, but because of some sales was a mess, but they are not really significant. We have 1,300 million pesos. Those are the movements during the year that were. And with respect to the profit level, we can say that we have this 285,000 million pesos that I mentioned earlier with a growth of 17%. That's for the operations, the medium line from the P&L. The financial expenses are very good behaviors there compared to the same period the previous year. We had a decrease both in the size of the debt that we've been on leveraging and the structure, decreasing our rates of interest. And we have a very flexible debt structure, very variable, that allows us to adapt to these market conditions. And finally, I'd like to highlight the profits before taxes, 63%. And this helps us understand the behavior of the taxes. The higher the profit before taxes, the effects of the rate of taxes, we have a growth of about 19.8%, 20% in the use of the tax benefits for some of our operations that you're already aware because of the legal stability that we had here. We should remember that 2018 doesn't have major changes, an effective rate of about 26%. If you compare it to that to 2017, that was an exceptional year where we had in this last period the tax reform of our operations in the U.S. and we had it 33% down to 22%. We had a variation of 17-20 compared to 2018, but we had better profits in 2018 in general. That with respect to the financial statements for the quarter. For the year, the accumulated for the entire year, in slide number 14, we have revenues, as we mentioned, 9 billion Colombian pesos, an increase of 3.7%. Gross margin is increased again. The cost variable had very good performance during 2018, and is shown here. We had the raw materials have coverage. We have we're able to do some negotiations during the year that helped us a lot. So we have a very good control in 2018 and very good outlook for the following years. We have some impacts. The rate of exchange will have some effects in this year too. The general, both administrative and sales expenses, are highly controlled. 1.6, the sales expenses are very much aligned with the increase in revenue. This has a 9.7% increase in that item. So after operating profits with 9.7%, we have very similar effects. The financial expenses are to be mentioned. It's 60,000 million pesos less than we had in last year. And if we calculate the effect of taxes that we mentioned in detail for the quarter, because it's exactly the same idea, we have net profits of 505,000 million pesos with a high double-digit growth, 20%. as a result of the improved EBITDA, both percentage and size-wise, and in our idea of and continue with this idea. As we generate surplus cash, we will try to unleverage the group. The financial conditions for that, the average rate all across is 6.33%. It's a rate that has been decreasing consistently. Last year we ended at 7.2%, and as we continue to unleverage the group, the rate of interest will be decreased as well. Also, as a result of this decrease in the debt, or the better position of returns and cash, have an ROI of 9.5% for the capital invested, significantly better than the 8.4% that we had in 2017. Again, this is a balanced situation. We good EBITDA for the year-to-year, better behavior of working capital, very specific effects. If you analyze the cash flow at the end of the year, we had some raw materials. We had our coverage also implies some physical inventory to cover the measure. We have some inventory in transit, but that had very good advantages. And also the situation of our CapEx, we have a very ROI, which is very close to the cost of capital for the group. And lastly, in the year, I also mentioned the budget for the CapEx for 2019. We have a budget of 263,000 million Colombian pesos. This is basically for maintenance, growing some lines, and that's the CapEx to support our experiences and growth during the year. With these thoughts about the returns and the debt, I'll give the floor again to Carlos Ignacio to share with us the outlook for 2019, and then the Q&A. Thank you, José Domingo. So, talk about the outlook, I'd like to refer first of all to the business part. And I'd like to talk about the outlook, especially vis-a-vis the first 6 months for 2019. We're looking in most countries where we operate some improvements in confidence in the consumer's willingness to spend the measurements of consumer expenditure. So real figures from Colombia, we have more than 3% growth in expenses, and according to FEDESTATOYO also show in the indicators that we have to do with more sophisticated standards with the environment of the economy. The consumer confidence has improved. So significant advances in channel development, effective innovations, and in the expansion of categories towards geographies where we are present. That makes us think that our first semester will have a better commercial dynamics. We are positive vis-a-vis the business dynamics, and we believe that the debt for the last quarter will not decrease our thrust. We're going to have a very good year. We'll update the outlook during the next conferences. About profitability, I'd like to mention the productivity programs that we have left some capabilities that we'll continue to use and affect their cost, the cost of the transformation that we do at the industrial level and on the expenses. In commodities, we see that some of the commodities that we use they're stable. In some, where we have some sort of rebound, we have good coverage levels in physical inventories that allows to forecast that we're going to have some good profit levels for the semester with return on investment that will be increasing. I think that this allows us to be hopeful for the first quarter, and we have a good positive outlook. I'd like to, Catherine, give the floor back to you so that we can go to our Q&A. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. So now we start our Q&A session. And I'll remind you that we have the chat option for the webcast for the questions. To start with, we're going to be reading two questions that we have through our webcast. First of all, thank you for being with us, and I will be glad to answer the two questions. The first question, in mass consumption in Colombia, is a free market. There are a lot of actors playing in the same field where Nutresa is active. When we show the slide about market share in Colombia, I mentioned that the source was Nielsen's measurements. The first thing that I should mention to respond is that this measurement does not include all the channels, especially the alternative channels that of Grupo Nutresa. In the measurement were the some of those new channels was was about the same as we sold in major chains. This have been growing higher than that. So Nielsen's, they don't measure all the discounters. They don't measure all the channels either. So I have to learn how to interpret these figures. But I'd like to mention that private brands exist for many years in Colombia. If you look at slide number 9, in the lower part, you see the major competitors, and as you can see, the only category where they are having very significant positions is in the cold cuts, where we have 71% according to Nielsen, and number 2 is private brands with 7.1%. Always Grupo Nutresa have seen our competitors with a lot of respect. We do not ignore them. We have to fight with them every day for these shares. These shares were obtained over many years, hard work, and it has to do with innovation, channel improvements, and especially with renewed knowledge about the buyers' expectations and needs and the customers and the consumers, so that we can give them what they prefer every day. So According to Nielsen, in the category of private brands, the most important ones are in cold cuts, but we compete with them every day and with other brands to gain the consumer's preference. With respect to the growth, when you look at historical behaviors of Grupo Nutresa, we've grown organically and inorganically. Historically, two-thirds of the growth have been from organic growth, and we think that that is one of the strengths of Grupo Nutresa. The purchases have been very active. We've made some acquisitions over the past 20 years, have helped us get the capability and the capacity. But in our current situation, we do not depend only on the inorganic. Knowing how to grow our bases, it seems we cannot feel comfortable by just making investments. And we're going to be active in the inorganic, but we will not be making any acquisitions that are not good for the shareholders. We're going to be extremely careful in that, and as long as we have positive results like 2018, the flow is going to be increasing. This idea, and as long as we can make good acquisitions, and we will decrease our debt level. So there are no changes. We continue to grow, look for organic growth. Inorganic growth will tell you that there would be opening that new area of ventures, but it's inorganic. The difference is that sometimes it's not due to control, but rather through capacity that will help us be a better company. With respect to territory, for now, we're still very focused on the Andean community, Central America and the Caribbean, Chile, Mexico, part of the U.S., and we maintain the other regions of interest, such as under observation. We don't have any short-term plans to go to Brazil or Argentina. I think that answers your question. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. For the moment, we have no further questions for the webcast, so we'll give the floor to Anna to start with a Q&A to the audio. Please push star 1. Good morning. Thank you for the chance to ask a question. Congratulations on the results. A good way to finish the year. There's a division where you could focus your interest. Is international cold cuts. And it seems that the sales last year were abnormally high. And that's why the last year was not as good compared to that. Could you give some details in that area? In retail foods, also the EBITDA had been decreasing, and it seems that it started to reverse the last quarter. Could you give us a little more details about the recovery that we saw? And is that the same thing that happened to with ice cream as well? Well, that is a very good recovery. Could you give us a little more info about that? I'm going to take the question. Thank you for being with us. Let me answer the three cases that you mentioned. First of all, about the exports of cold cuts. In Colombia, we've had been gaining some market share. It's still very low in meat exports. We never play in the export of meat on the hoof. We just add added value products. For some sanitary reasons, during at the end of the year, we lost the certification for the country, especially to export to Russia, and some of the volumes that we had to export for meat, we couldn't export them. So we didn't have a super year a year ago, but rather that because of for external reasons, some markets hadn't lost access, and the government has been working on that, and we hope that these markets will be opened again. The operations in Panama, Panama as a country has lost a little dynamics, but I would say that the sales in Panama are relatively stable, and you see that because we cannot export meat from Colombia, and that especially to Russia, and we're trying to solve that. For the last couple of weeks, we had a visit from the Russian sanitary authorities. With respect to retail foods, there is gradual improvement in profits. We've been working on efficiency and productivity, improving, remodeling some of the stores, and that has been giving us positive effects on sales. In addition, we had mentioned earlier that this unit had been affected for 2 years of price increases over 20% for the beef. And this previous year, in that trend, increasing trend, slowed. And even in Colombia, they went down. So there's an improvement that, as you mentioned, we have better perspectives, better outlook. As far as ice cream, what we did in ice cream was a total process review of the go-to-market strategy. We reviewed our portfolio, our strategy for freezers. We strengthened the value offer. We had more powerful combinations, and the combination of all these factors plus the productivity programs led to what we saw, that sales grew again. We had decreased the previous year, and we reached the corridor. We hope to have better EBITDA than those of the end of the year. We think that we can do that, and we can improve. So these are the explanations for the three areas. You said that you didn't mention in the question, but we have improvement plans for the international coffee sales. The challenges, the business challenges are there. They're included in your question, and I think that we have other ways to pull ahead. And thank you for your questions. Thank you for your clarification. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. My questions were the ones that Felipe asked, and you have answered them very clearly. Thank you very much. Thank you, Julian. Federico Perez, question from Bancolombia. Good morning, Carlos Ignacio Domingo, and everyone at the table. Thank you for your presentation. I had a couple of questions. First, you mentioned the significant increase in prices in the biscuits. That is due, or mostly to the increase in subproducts, but give us a little bit about, more information about that strategy, because we heard that the volumes in biscuits were affected. How are you expecting the strategy to continue in the early 2019?
The second one is with the tax reform. We had no significant impact during the quarter for this reform, but I'd like to hear your opinion about what you expect. Can you have any new business line or any business line that can be affected by these new changes in the tax law? And lastly, give me more details. It's not so much about what you think that might happen with the country or what, because we know that the discussions in Venezuela are very uncertain, but can you give us an idea of what since you excluded that Venezuela from the financial situation of Venezuela, can you give us a little idea about that? Well, thank you for being with us, Federico. I'll refer especially to the first and third questions, and Jose Domingo will talk about the second one, about the tax reform. First, the question about the biscuits is a good question because it allows us to clarify something. We haven't increased significantly the price of the biscuits. On the contrary, during the industrial process, very often we have a possibility that one of the subproducts that come from the wheat mills are commercialized, or they become a bigger seller of flour. And what we've done is to get these subproducts that I produce to add more value as possible. So what we did was to reduce the sale of byproducts or very low added value products, and that's why the number of tons goes down, because we stopped selling a low margin flour. When we decrease that, we have a decreased volume, but the average price goes up. So the strategy was not to increase the price. It was to not sell some high volume but very little added value product. That's why we see a higher price. Obviously, the biscuits have a higher price than flour. If you lose some of the volumes and I'd like to make an emphasis on that, we're not giving up on the B2B. We're interested, but we're trying to get it to be profitable, and that's what we're doing in our strategy. So also the explanation, I also mentioned that the biscuits grew by volume. When you eliminate the effect of that change in the policy of selling the products, the biscuits grew in kilos and in pesos by excluding the sales of a lot of kilos for low prices. The average, the weighted price seems to have increased, but it's a matter of operating strategy. At the end of the third quarter of 2016, we decided to register our investment in Venezuela as a financial investment. Our idea is to keep our brands alive, following our internal regulations, and in the midst of all the difficulties that you're all aware, the volumes have decreased significantly. But what I can tell you is that today, the operation that is holding up, basically holding up, and we're in the idea of surviving and remaining. We haven't shared dividends, but we haven't distributed dividends, and it hasn't happened. But our idea is to remain, be current, contribute to the quality of life of our employees. And we be ready to take advantage of any future opportunities that might arise. But the data
about sales in kilos and tons, it's much smaller than we have had in the past. But it's viable, it's sustainable, and as I said in some previous talks for Grupo Nutrisaoi, it is not a risk but rather a major opportunity for the future. About the tax reform, I'll give the floor to José Domingo. About the reform, I'd like to tell you that we're talking about the tax reform in Colombia, and it has two things to analyze. We didn't have any negative effects on the P&L. One is on consumption, the application of the VATs, when we're defining the tax reform. So it was not included in this tax reform, so we do not have those effects, which have been negative short-term effects, but so we don't have any effect of the VAT on consumption. About retail foods, we do have a combination there. The VAT, we have brands, local brands, which apply, or the VAT that we have to use to chapter where we have part from overseas, we don't have any significant changes with it. And lastly, I would say that in consumption, we have the impact on the rates, and we had a positive effect in the medium and long terms. And that's for our tax rates. We have a corporate tax rate, which provides some benefits because of our legal stability, but the impact is reflected. So it doesn't have any negative effect, the tax reform in Colombia. Thank you very much for your information. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. The outlook for 2019, when you look at Nutresa in 2018, we had a significant growth in EBITDA, even in a context where sales were growing at half that rate, and that driven by categories such as chocolate, which had a very good coverage policy. Looking at the results for the fourth quarter, it seems that chocolate is no longer being a driver for the growth of the EBITDA, and we shouldn't expect the results of the cold cuts to be recurrent. So do you think that the growth in the EBITDA is going to be driven more by a recovery of the growth in sales? Thank you, Andres, for your company and for the question. We normally, we don't do an outlook for business by business. First of all, the business, the chocolate business, includes in itself several geographies and several categories. We shouldn't look at this as a business in Colombia alone. I didn't mention it, but if you look at the figures, we have like biscuits that sold more outside of Colombia than inside Colombia. So the chocolate business still has, from the commercial point of view, we have very major opportunities. I would say that in Chile, we're just beginning the first year of our expansion in chocolate, and in the categories of nuts, which we have had an aggressive international and successful expansion. The EBITDA that we got in the chocolate business is even above the averages for the last several years, and we could not promise that it would be remaining at that level. But what you do when you have a good policy for coverage and you have good physical inventory managers is that we take advantage of the positive cycles and reduce the impact of those less positive cycles. So we hope that the chocolate will be a growth and of profit. Although you mentioned the contribution and the recovery of the business, is going to be significant. We hope that, or we expect that ice cream will continue to improve, and also retail foods also to improve. That is why the objective is profitable growth. It is not just giving up one of our objectives to achieve the other. We hope that over the year we can aim for both objectives, good profits, good return on investment, and at the same time, growth equal to or better than the previous years. And very much supported by innovation, investment in the market, and in channel development and international development. I think that internationally in 2018, the rate of exchange did not allow us to get all the good results. So at $2.3, what we have to do is, you know, look at the very good behaviors in local currencies, and we think that there is a lot to be done, and that a company like Nutrisa has the capability to make very good, they take very good advantage of that. Do you think that 12.5% that we ended with in 2018, can there be room for more for growth, or will that be stable? You know that we don't give you an exact guidance. What we mentioned was that even for the first time in a long time, I didn't say EBITDA, but I said better return on investment. And the thing is that with the new system for reporting financial information, those EBITDAs, the rates are going to be improved because of the changes in the way the accounting is going to be showing, especially in our leases. But the end, the flows, and the return on investment are not going to be changing, and that's what we want to do, is have a profitable company, not in books, but rather something that would provide returns to our investors, those who trust us. So we're going for a better 2019, and what so far is in line with what we've been telling about. Thank you very much. Thank you, Andres. Good morning. Thank you for your presentations. My question is about the debt. 2.17 times, and with that venture promote, how are you going to be financing those investments? Are you going to do by getting more debt? Are you going to use your cash flows? Because of our trend that we have in our leverage, we could also cover with our internal funds. We have a lot of that for that program specifically covered with our own cash flow. In any way, this indicator that we're looking at, we have 3 times a couple of years ago. So we think that the support our growth initiatives in investment. And we will be using mostly our funds, and if we need to go, we'll go to the capital market. Could you give us a little bit more information about what's doing in chocolates? Obviously, you had the chili with the starter chocolates there. Can you give us a little bit more information about what the processes are like now? Do you expect any sort of changes in the competitive environment? I thought I heard something about a new drive in that respect. I'll be glad to, Felipe. I was mentioning that the cross-fertilization category extension is a source of growth. In the chocolate business, it should be mentioned that the previous year we launched in Chile a new product. Not entire chocolate category. We have a portfolio that is integrated and aimed at the taste of the consumers and buyers in Chile based on our TM look distribution strength. So we had very good results. We know we're new in that market. We see that as a big challenge, but we're happy. The products in general were well received, and the sales levels that we wanted were achieved, and we will continue. Chile is a country with seasons, so it has some months where there are very much higher sales levels than others, and we believe that it was a very good start. Secondly, with the chocolate business, we have during the second year of expansion of the category in nuts with Granuts and Kuma brands. The first part was very much focused on the Andean community of nations in Central America. The results were excellent. This is a project that is not just selling products that are successful in Colombia, rather develop a category offering presentations that didn't exist in those markets. Many of them undergo presentations. So the nuts category is aligned with two major trends in the world of foods. One is convenience with health and nutrition. And perhaps the third one is where nuts are becoming an alternative for snacks, and in this case nuts have a nutritional profile that makes them very attractive. So our expansion in Central America was very fast and very successful, and what I could tell you is that we are building outside of Colombia a nut business that in 4 years, we'll be able to manage what we did in 30 in Colombia. And that's the difference. Very powerful innovation, speed, very agile application, close to the sales and proximity. Mexico is a major challenge. It's a country with very aggressive players and with significant economies of scale. We're just barely starting in nuts. We know there's going to be a very major challenge, but we're starting, you know, on that bend. The first reactions are good. Obviously, the competition is not going to be standing still, but we believe that there is an interesting room there. The business for chocolate, we have the cereal bars and cereals for breakfast with the Tosh brand, where we're doing a special brand in Central America, especially in Costa Rica to start with, and that is doing very well. It's doing very well. And fourth, in that business, we have the follow-up of the B2B business in the U.S., where we have a very ambitious project, which is under development. So this is, from outside, it looks mature, but it's absolutely dynamic. And with those four initiatives, we are operating in Colombia, Felipe. Congratulations. Thank you very much. Thank you all for your questions. With this, we will conclude the conference of results for the fourth quarter of 2018. Thank you once again for your participation, and we remind you that our contact line with the Direction of Investor Relations is available to ask any further questions. Thank you very much. Happy day and happy weekend. Thank you for your participation in the conference. You may hang up now.